Good morning, greetings to you, and welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. If you happen to be a guest or a visitor here with us, we especially want to say welcome to you. Great to have you here. Feel free to stay behind for some refreshments following. And as I say, it's good to have you here. Just a mention to those who might be here with us and have younger members of the family, don't feel that you need to stay tied to your seat. If you need to get up and walk about a little bit, that's quite all right. And we want you to be comfortable here, and we're glad you're with us. Just a quick note about communion time, so that at the time of communion, if you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and make communion in your home church, you're more than welcome to do so here. We'll make two lines up the center and return to your seats by the sides, and that will facilitate our movement. At the moment, we're not administering communion by way of intinction, so that is, we're not dipping the bread in the wine. If you wish to receive in two kinds, please take the bread and also the common cup. If you're not comfortable with drinking from the common cup, then please just take the bread, and that's quite all right to only take one. If you're would rather have a blessing, then make your communion. Placing your arms this way will indicate that is what you're asking for. And also, if you are in need of gluten-free host, we have that as well. Just a note again about some of our hearing assist units. So we have little FM radios that help those who need a little extra help with hearing, and some of those have gone missing. So if you use one of those, if you could just check your pockets to see whether maybe you've slipped one in and forgotten. I think there are two, maybe three, that we haven't seen for a little while, so we would like to get them back if that's at all possible. In addition to what is there this week in your bulletin on our schedule for the coming days, I'm also going to be at Fairline Place on Tuesday at 11 o'clock, and that was something that just didn't make it into the calendar quite in time. Also, a reminder that our annual meeting is scheduled for the 16th of March, and that's about a month away. Also, you'll note this morning that there is an updated report on our budget versus offering, and the offering budget. What you might want to take note of there on those January figures is that we did receive an anonymous donation on the 31st of December. And that, for whatever reason, was not counted until 2025. So what you'll see there in the green bar includes a one-time $8,000 gift that came on the 31st of December. And that perhaps inflates that a little more than what might have been anticipated. Recognizing, of course, that we haven't actually adopted a budget for 2025, what you see there is an estimate of probably what it will look like, and we'll make adjustments once we actually officially adopt. And besides the fact that Brad McKnight is going to speak to us a little bit this morning about missions in Belize, while he's coming to the microphone, is there anything else that needs to be announced? I'd say that's not very much. Thank you, Brad.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
So yes, I'm here on behalf of the Joint Mission and Outreach Committee this morning, just to talk a little bit about Belize. As many of you guys know, we've had an ongoing relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ in Belize since our first mission trip in 2005 with the Cathedral Puppeteers. We've maintained communications all along, and we've been on several mission trips since, the last being in 2018. And the principal, Jane Martinez, at St. Hilda's School in Belize has expressed an interest to have us return, and the Mission and Outreach Committee right now is just trying to sort of gauge interest to see if we have enough people that might be interested in going, and if so, we can start our planning. There are no official plans in place yet to say there's a specific date, but we want to see who is interested, and based on that, we can start making plans. And if we're looking at 2026, we need to start planning right away. If we're looking at 2027, we probably should start planning soon anyway for that as well. So what we're, there's certain things that we'll be looking for. We would need a team leader, and we would need leaders at home as well to help with part of the home team in organizing something like this. So right now we're just asking that if any of you feel interested or called to participate, is to share that interest with Kirsten at the Cathedral office, leave your contact information, and if we have enough people, then we will put a steering team together, and we'll have some information sessions to share more information and answer questions. So in the meantime, if you are called at all to participate, please, sometime this week, maybe just send Kirsten a message and let her know. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. And just to add a word of thanks to those who have continued to support Belize Mission. As you know, we provide scholarships to students at St. Hilda's on a regular basis, and we have been able to continue that, and it's because of the fundraising and also the regular gifts that are made toward that mission that happens. So our thanks to you for that, and to all who contribute. And as Brad says, there are a number of ways to participate. Not only actually traveling to Belize. So there's a lot that has to happen here on the ground, both before and during the mission, and it's a significant endeavor. So it is important that we get some word as to what interest there would be. And so if you can do that as soon as possible, that would be most appreciated. So thanks, Brad, for sharing that with us. We're worshiping today according to the Come Worship style, and most of what you're going to need, you'll find on the blue-colored insert in your bulletin. We begin with a call to worship, and as we do that, I'll ask you to stand. Words from the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. Baptized and freed, grounded in love. O come, let us worship.
We are.
Almighty and ever-living God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, healed the sick and restored them to wholeness of life, look with compassion on the anguish of the world, and by your power make whole all peoples and nations, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him, and he healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The word of the Lord.
Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor. Woe to you who are rich." In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In Matthew, it's the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, it's the Sermon on the Plain. There's reason to believe that both gospel writers were referring to the same event. But it's altogether possible, too, that Jesus was actually a re-preacher. Remember the Seinfeld episode with the re-gifter? Well, Jesus might have been a re-preacher, and some of us preachers are sometimes accused of that, preaching the same thing more than once. The Beatitudes, we have come to call them, differ slightly in each of those renditions. Both are raw, unvarnished, faith-rattling declaration about how the realm of God is different from the realm of the world. The Beatitudes are first about God, not about us. Preacher William Willimon once wrote that a sermon is a sermon when it is about God. We learn implications for human behavior only after we learn who God is and what God is up to. Now, I take that to mean that when preaching, it's never a bad thing to begin with God. So what do we mean by a God who is defined by the values of the Beatitudes and the woes, as opposed to what it means to worship a God who Too many believe is, as Swiss theologian Edward Schweitzer termed, the powerless omnipotent. Schweitzer went on to say, the Sermon on the Plain is a call to action, not a theologically conceived attempt to summarize the Christian message in its entirety, but a call to the life of discipleship. So it's an invitation into the realm of God. The Beatitudes, like the other lectionary choices today, are composed of several stated dualisms. Sometimes it seems all we humans can see is black and white, good and bad, light and dark. It takes depth, patience, and a certain amount of humility to exist in the gray areas, even though that is where, by necessity, we actually spend most of our time. The prophet Jeremiah says, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Psalm 1, happy are those who delight in the law of the Lord. The wicked are like chaff. The way of the wicked will perish. And in his familiar 15th chapter of his first letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul distinguishes between those who proclaim the resurrection and those who do not. Those whose faith is in vain. And Luke conveys Jesus' teaching that blessed, happy, are the poor, the hungry, those who weep, and the hated. But woe to the rich, the full, the laughing, and those well spoken of. And perhaps the most significant mistake we can make is to think that what Jesus is delivering here is a moral code, an order of law to which those he preaches are expected to ascribe. Jesus never says that we'll be happy if we become poor, hungry, weeping, or hated by everyone. What if we were to understand these words as a description of a different realm? A different way of framing the world. The realm of God. The Beatitudes should make us uncomfortable because they describe the upside-down kingdom. God stands with the poor because the poor have nothing but God. What if we lived our life like that? Because Jesus is right. If we're not poor now, just wait. Fasting, intentional hunger, has long been a way to remove the hold our appetites have on us in an attempt to somehow draw closer to God. I doubt being teary-eyed for God necessarily pleases God, but if we can't find compassion and even comfort there when we're hurting, where can we find it? And lastly, if appearance and what others might think about us occupies our time, we might want to ask ourselves why. some these days readily suggest that what we believe doesn't really matter. That faith is entirely individual in nature, altogether subjective. And we need only make up our own version, whatever feels right, whatever seems to suit us. And I would suggest that to be a casualty and a product of the capitalist individualism so prominent in our time. It's certainly not an admirable feature of an Anglican or any other example of Christian faith. But you know, sometimes in the struggle to understand the mystery, to fathom what is unfathomable, reach for that beyond even what our intelligence can grasp, it's tempting to simply give up, as if none of it really matters anyway. And if what they mean to say is that each of us has a unique experience of faith, then I would wholeheartedly agree. But what the church has taught down through 2,000 years since the birth of Jesus about how to be faithful is important. The fundamentals are found in Scripture, in the creeds, in the catechism, and in worship. Those foundations are important even when we find some of them difficult to understand or even accept. And if that giving up describes you, then maybe it's time. Time to listen a little closer to the creeds. Time for a gentle increase in the amount of scripture you're reading each day. Maybe even take the opportunity to say the daily offices. Time to take a leisurely read through the catechism one more time. The Apostle Paul would put belief in the resurrection among that number of fundamentals. Paul asserts that belief in the resurrection is necessary for the Christians in Corinth. He says, "How can you say there is no resurrection from the dead? If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." Being a Christian is not about intellectual consent to a set of propositions. We don't believe Jesus existed in history because history tells us that. Faith is not just about the facts. It has little to do with ascribing to a particular ideology or body of information with which we are not allowed to disagree. We're not asked at the church door, at our baptism, or at our confirmation if we pay allegiance to a certain understanding or a certain statement of faith. The questions are, do you renounce evil? Do you turn to Him? Do you put your trust in Jesus? Faith is a mystery. This is the mystery of faith, we say. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. It's at the center of some of the Eucharistic prayers, and it's at the center of faith. But how, we might say? Well, thank God the mystery embodies our doubts as well as our beliefs. Faith and doubt are not opposites of one another. They're not an example of the dualisms I mentioned earlier. And if resurrection is just too much to handle, perhaps some of what makes that so is that resurrection, for too many, means the resuscitation of a dead body. You may be interested to hear that I don't believe in resuscitation either. But if you'll notice, the empty tomb narratives are of little or even no concern to the Apostle Paul. The post-resurrection Jesus was not a zombie, a walking corpse. Neither does Paul ever seem to be referring to a disembodied spirit. Resurrection instated a new reality. Jesus embodied victory over the power of death, and it is that to which we are invited in him. Commentator Jerry Irish has had this to say: the resurrection Paul would have had the Corinthians anticipate on the basis of Christ's resurrection will come when God's reign is complete. Christ's resurrection is the first fruits, the initial instance of that reign. It involves a love that is always incarnate, embodied in our world today as it was 2,000 years ago. Paul's list of appearances that we read earlier in that 15th chapter, actually part of a passage from last Sunday, has not come to an end. It has been added to through the centuries right up to our own time. Jesus Christ is no less a presence in our world than in Paul's. The question is, are we aware of that presence? Our God is the God of those who have nothing but God. Jesus tells us the truth on the plain, but he also tells us plainly. We cannot say that we have not been advised. Amen. We're going to continue now with one of the oldest statements of Christian faith, the faith of the apostles, in the Apostles' Creed. And you'll find that there on page 2 of the leaflet. And as we stand, let us confess our faith as we say: I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
God has promised that when two or three are gathered together in his name, he will be there among us. So we pray. Holy God, Help us to draw near to you in this time of prayer, that we may worship you with all our hearts, with all our minds, and with all our strength, and that we may love and serve our neighbors in everything we do. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for our Anglican Communion. Almighty God, we pray for the family of the Church, that all Christians may work together in harmony for the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the building up of your people. In the Anglican cycle of prayer today, we remember the Church of Bangladesh, Archbishop Samuel Sunil Mankin, moderator and bishop of Kushtia. In the provincial cycle of prayer, we remember the Diocese of Western Newfoundland, Bishop John Organ. And we also remember the work and witness of our own diocese here in Fredericton, in the province, our Bishop David and all clergy involved in leading us to walk in your ways. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of love and light, shine into our lives and bring your love into our souls. Remind us of the amazing ways you have loved us, even when we turned our backs on you. Open our hearts to receive your loving spirit. Open our minds to receive your wisdom. Open our hands so that we may show others your loving compassion. Lord, in your mercy. O God, the Father of us all, direct the leaders of the world that all your children may live together in justice and in peace. And I pray from our collect as well this morning, which was so timely. Father, look with compassion on the anguish of the world, and by your power make whole all people and nations. Lord, in your mercy. We pray particularly for the people in war-torn areas, for all communities that are cut off from aid and struggling for food. We pray for people in conflict, that you may touch their hearts and that peace may prevail. Lord, in your mercy. Touch and heal those whose lives are struggling with pain or illness in mind, body, or in their spirit, and also for those who love and care for them. In our cathedral community, remember Donna, Charles and Jean, Pat, Sue, Skylar, Aaron, Carolyn, Jacob, Stephanie, Neil, Brooklyn, Richard, David and Janice, David and Maureen, Heather, Cooper, Jeff, Lorraine, and Savannah. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the lives of all those loved ones who, whilst no longer walking beside us or holding our hand along life's journey as once they did, live on in the collective memory of those they have left behind. Enjoy their company, loving God, until we shall meet again. Lord, in your mercy. To you, O Lord, we bring our lives, troubled, broken, or at ease, a sacrificial offering for you to use. Take away our selfishness and teach us to love as you have loved. Take away our sense of pride and show us the meaning of humility. Take away our blindness and show us the world through your eyes. Take away our greed and teach us how to give as you gave to us. Show us your ways. Teach us your paths, that we might walk with you more closely, our hand in your hand, our feet in your footsteps. We give our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
and in words of confession together. Merciful God, your call to discipleship is demanding. You call us to reorder our lives by the kingdom you are bringing in Jesus Christ. Yet we still pass by the ones who especially notice, people who are poor and hungry, people who weep. We have not stood with those who are hated, bullied, and excluded. Comfortable with the way things are, we are too complacent, even complicit with injustice and prejudice. Forgive us, O God, and turn us back to your gospel. We pray for our sake and for the sake of your world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Because Christ has been raised from the dead, sin and death do not have the last word. Our faith is not in vain. Baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, we are forgiven and set free to live for God and neighbor. Thanks be to God. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Eternal God, you are the strength of the weak and the comfort of sufferers. Receive all we offer you this day. Turn our sickness into health and our sorrow into joy. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. During the prayer of great thanksgiving, the Eucharistic prayer, you're welcome to remain standing. If you would prefer to sit or to kneel, you're certainly welcome to do so. Almighty God, good Father of us all, your face is turned toward your world. In love, you gave us Jesus, your Son, to rescue us from sin and death. Your word goes out to call us home, to the city where angels sing your praise, and we join with them in heaven's song. Father of all, we give you thanks for every gift that comes from heaven. To the darkness, Jesus came as your light. With signs of faith and words of hope, he touched untouchables with love and washed the guilty clean. Through his teaching and ministry, he pointed to the new life of your kingdom. He taught us who is blessed in your sight and spoke words of warning to those with riches and power. He is your incarnate word. The crowds came out to see your son, yet at the end they turned on him. On the night he was betrayed, he came to table with his friends to celebrate the freedom of your people. Jesus blessed you, Father, for the food. He took bread and gave thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body given for you all." Jesus then gave thanks for the wine. He took the cup, gave it, and said, "This is my blood shed for you all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate the cross on which he died to set us free. Defying death, he rose again and is alive with you to plead for us and all the world. And so we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Send your Spirit on us and on these gifts, that we may feed on Christ with open eyes and hearts on fire. May we and all who share this food offer ourselves to live for you and be welcomed at your feast in heaven, where all creation worships you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We break the bread of life, and that life is the light of the world. God, hear among us, light in the midst of us, bring us to light and life. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, on
As we stand, let us pray. God of tender care, in this Eucharist we celebrate your love for us and for all people. May we show your love in our lives and know its fulfillment in your presence. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. May the blessing of God, Creator, Christ, and Comforter, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, nourish and sustain us, surprise and reorder us, and strengthen us in faith and hope for this life and the life to come. Amen. And for those who wish to come forward, there are instruments to play during the last song, and you're more than welcome to come along and do that.
Enthusiasm.